Hey, everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
All righty, rocking and rolling, hour number two from the downtown Phoenix Convention Center. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. You see this guy all throughout the NCAA tournament. Joining us live on set right now is the always entertaining Clark Kellogg. Clark, great to see you. Thanks so much.
Hey, good to be seen, Zach, and great to see you and to be with you. This is a highlight weekend for those who love college hoops.
By the way, my favorite line of yours during the tourney.
Uh-oh.
And I don't know, maybe Charles Barkley's rubbing off on you and gets you a little polarizing. I wasn't expecting this from Clark Kellogg, but you're like, the score is tight. It's kind of like going into that that airplane bathroom.
Yeah.
I understood what you were saying.
Yeah,
people's mind,
yeah.
They went into a dirty type of place, but I get it being a tall, big
Yes,
fella.
You would, Zach.
Going
you know exactly
into
what
those,
I'm talking
going
about.
Into those airplane bathrooms
hey,
ain't easy.
Yes, it's not, man, but I think everybody can relate to it on some level in terms of the tightness and cramped quarters, and that's all I was trying to illustrate, nothing more. And if it helps people paint a picture of what tightness looks like, then I'm happy that it turned out the way it did. Yeah.
What did you make of the reaction from that line? Because
I mean, Ernie obviously is excellent as a deadpan guy, and he didn't want to see what I was trying to.
Thanks for the imagery.
Yes, exactly. But it was great. I had some other folks that are in our studio that are working behind the scenes, and they loved it. They all chuckled and laughed, and I mean, it was fine. Yeah, it was good. No, it was fine. Sometimes it's nice to surprise folks,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely did. I was on my couch. I was like, okay, I get it, but I wasn't expecting that from Clark.
Yeah,
I thought Charles
would slide him in there. I slide him in there every now and then. Yeah, I'm a little sillier than some people think I am.
So here's the big question of this tourney. How does someone give UConn a game? Alabama, we know they could score.
Yeah.
Their defense has been improving throughout this tourney. They've been making stops. Where's the confidence that Alabama gives them a game tomorrow evening?
Yeah, it's moderate. Actually, a little more than moderate. Because of their ability to shoot the three and because of the points you just made, Zach, they have been good enough defensively in spots in every tournament game, more so than they were during the regular season. So that's what happens sometimes. You see teams show you improvement in areas that you wondered if they would make improvement in. So defensively, they've been better. And I think they get Reitzel back is what it sounds like. And that helps. It adds another player in their rotation, another shot maker, playmaker. And the three-point shot is an X factor, although UConn has been extremely stingy defensively, particularly behind the arc. So, and then they also, I mean, I think their scoring ability, if they can be efficient, that gives them a chance to maybe apply some long-term game pressure, which hasn't been part of UConn's experience really since last tournament.
And you know what scares me with UConn? We all know they're great. Yeah. I think they're better this year than they were last year. They haven't even been playing that great in this tournament. They're still kicking everyone's ass.
That's a great point. I was just talking to somebody else, and they talked about no adversity faced by UConn, which is an interesting way to look at it. And they haven't really faced any. But to your point, they haven't shot the three that well, but they've done just about everything else at a pretty high level.
Clark Kellogg here with us. Let me get to the other side of it. NC State. Because they play in the ACC, people will be like, oh, they're not a Cinderella. But they have all the looks of a Cinderella team,
conference
right?
Conference affiliation doesn't determine whether you're a Cinderella. It's what you've done beyond what was expected of you that determines Cinderella. And that can happen whether you're in a power conference or not. So clearly, a team that was nowhere on the radar for being part of the Field of 68 after losing four games in a row and now wins 9 games in a row That's Cinderella.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I look at it.
Yeah, coach is about to get fired. They're 17 and 14. Now they're
man.
In the Final Four.
Come on, man.
I know we all like to pretend we're experts this time of the year.
Yes.
Outside of maybe Jim Boeheim, I don't think anyone was saying NC State was going
no
to
doubt.
Be in this spot.
No doubt. I agree 100%. We're only experts at knowing how much of an expert we aren't.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it.
I'm only an expert at getting things wrong.
We're all good at that.
Just take a look at the bracket. The bracket has been terrible this year. I want to ask you, continuing off NC State, because I made this point to a lot of people. The thing that has impressed me the most, obviously the story, but their legs just have not given out.
Yeah.
I would have thought by now, with how many games they've had to play and how quick it is moving from game to game, survive in advance, they look like the most well-conditioned team maybe in the country that I've seen.
That's a great point. But I think most teams can manage workload through practice or less practice so that you're at your best.
Not like when you were playing.
For the games. Yeah, it's changed.
Run you into the ground in practice.
Yeah, but now there's much more understanding of what's required to be sharp, and rest is a big part of it. The mental focus is more of what you're doing at this point in time. The late Bobby Knight used to talk about it all the time in terms of being mindful of keeping his team's legs fresh as the season went on, and that meant reduction in practice time, more treatment and taking care of your body, and maybe a little more mental rehearsal. And so I'm sure that's part of what the equation is. And there's a level of excitement that comes from being able to play in the games, and that adrenaline also can carry you too, as long as you're body is in pretty good shape.
If you can't say Clark Kellogg, pray or get him into foul trouble, what's the best game plan going up against Zach Edey?
You've got to be efficient offensively, and then you've got to be disruptive defensively on the perimeter. I mean, you've got to be able to apply pressure on the ball, both when guys are dribbling and also when the ball goes in to Zach, trying to keep – you've got to be active with your feet and hands and disciplined in that without fouling. I mean, those are the things that I think give you a chance. Ohio State beat Purdue late in the season, and that was one of the best defensive efforts the Buckeyes had put together, not because they physically wore Zach down, but they were active. Everybody was active, engaged, ball deflecting passes, getting hands on balls, those kinds of things. Loose balls, you've got to get more of those than Purdue does. That kind of stuff is where you can make up for a huge disadvantage in size. So that, to me, activity and disruption with discipline defensively. Then you've got to be efficient on offense. You can't afford offensive droughts. You've got to be consistently scoring the ball, taking good shots and making a good percentage of them, to me, is part of the recipe.
Do you want to see Clark Kellogg, the tourney, expand from 68 teams?
I've warmed to it because it's more a function now of expanding in relationship to how many more Division I teams there are. Every other championship or postseason play of the NCAA usually has 20 to 25% of the eligible Division I teams that can qualify. In basketball, before the 2011 expansion, it was like at 19%. We went to 68. That got it to 21 or 22%. And this next move, if it's 4 or 8, based on the number of the additional number of Division I teams, would keep us in that space of 22, 23% of your teams. I think that's reasonable and makes sense and is fair.
You don't think it would water down the product?
No, I don't. I don't because, again, you're adding more teams, so there will be a few more spots. And I think that would be fine. I was adamantly opposed until just recently. And then you start to think about it from a rational standpoint, and that makes more sense to me, as opposed to just trying to create more spots. There's a reason behind expanding, if in fact it happens.
So I think you're in an interesting spot, because whenever I ask someone about name, image, and likeness in the transfer portal that are not still playing, if you criticize it at all, it's like, oh, it's the old head, doesn't understand the times. And I get you understand the times now. You're on TV and you're on the radio all the time talking about college basketball. But where do you think we are at, and where do you think we need to get to when it comes to name, image, and likeness, and also the transfer?
I love where we are in terms of what name, image, and likeness creates as an opportunity, not only economically but educationally for student athletes. I was never under the impression, I was never in agreement with you would be penalized by earning a college athletic scholarship to not be able to use your name, image, like. It clearly is off the rails. The transfer portal, I appreciate that. Unlimited transfers is too far. We need one transfer. You can play without penalty of sitting out. After that, we've got to tighten that. And then we need regulation, and we also need more transparency in the NIL space. And that may be a combination of federal legislation and the NCAA or some form of an overseeing body creating the lanes that NIL is going to run in. And I think institutions should have their hands on it more, because I think you could actually control the economic and the educational components of NIL better if it was in-house. If it was in-house, I think the institutions would have the latitude, but also the parameters and the transparency components needed so that it could be monitored and regulated, but they have freedom to operate within a space based on the institution's particular posture around NIL and what they can fund. And so I'm hopeful we get there, because I think it's here, it's not going away, and it's an opportunity to build something that is sustainable, and we can still keep education in its totality in the equation, as opposed to it being now a recruiting inducement. It was never meant to be that. NIL was meant to be something that student athletes at an institution could capitalize on when they were there in that city, in that area. It wasn't to be, what's your package in NIL? That's why I'm going to come to your school. That was never meant to be, and it's gotten way out of bounds in that regard. But I am still hopeful we can recalibrate it at some point.
He is Clark Kellogg. Clark, always enjoy watching you on TV this time of the year and listening to you on the radio as well. We appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure, Zach. Great to be with you. Keep up the good work, man.
You got it. Thanks so much. He is Clark Kellogg. It is the Zach Gelb Show.
Hey, everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You got to widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
The swing of his life!
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.